Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour Constellation Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Butte to Birmingham, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How's everybody doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. I know there's something that is irking you right now. I know there's someone that is pestering you, bothering you, annoying you. I know you want to take out the trash. And so today we present to you our weekly installment of Trash Tuesday.
Okay, how long you been on the air, DA?
What or who is bothering you? Take out the trash today. There's two ways to trash people, places, things. Either hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on the old phone lines. Those still work too these days, kids. 855-212-4227, the phone number. 855-212-4CBS. We'll do our trashes coming up here on the DA show in approximately 30 minutes from now. Elsewhere this morning on the show, former NFL veteran, analyst, Solomon Wilcott's going to join us. We'll talk about week number one of the NFL. Solomon Wilcott's hour number two. And Pro Football Hall of Fame kicker, Morton Anderson, a rare breed, the rarest of breeds in Canton, a place kicker in the Hall of Fame. Morton Anderson is in there. He'll join us in studio this morning. Elsewhere this morning on the show, last night, Monday Night Football, are the Raiders actually going to be good this season? Also, Jay Gruden already in hot water over his Adrian Peterson decision over the weekend. And one baseball fan in our nation's capital got stabbed by his wife for being too big of a baseball fan. All of that coming up this morning on the show. But we begin with the first game last night on Monday Night Football. Well, the end of Texans and Saints was just an awesome joyride, because you had two great quarterbacks dueling for a win, and that was the best game of week number one. And when Deshaun Watson took over with under a minute to play and promptly in the middle of one of the toughest road environments of the NFL, in two plays, put his team not only in field goal position, but in the end zone, it was a work of art. Deshaun Watson's 37-yard strike near sideline to DeAndre Hopkins over the shoulder, an absolutely beautiful throw. Beautiful. And then to follow that up with getting crushed by the oncoming rush and delivering a strike down the middle of the field to Kenny Stills, end zone touchdown. Deshaun Watson doing the things he did at Clemson in the NFL. Gorgeous. Gorgeous quarterbacking, incredible playmaking, And Deshaun Watson, once again, putting the franchise on his shoulders. And you know what happened next. Drew Brees being Drew Brees, the Texans' defense laying off, the Texans' defense not making a play, and the Saints go down the field with three pass completions and a 58-yard field goal to win it by Lutz. And watching that game last night, who did not feel like this? That Deshaun Watson is better than the franchise that surrounds him. That head coach, Bill O'Brien, the chin, doesn't deserve to have a bauble, a jewel, a gemstone as beautiful as Deshaun Watson. That coaching staff and that organization has been made to look better than it is, shinier than it is, because Deshaun Watson does inhuman things. Last night, Bill O'Brien's head-scratching play calling, Bill O'Brien's head-scratching timeout management, Bill O'Brien's head-scratching game management and challenging philosophy. And then that defense. That defense only has to do one thing, and that is prevent the Saints with like 30 seconds from getting down the field and kicking a field goal, and couldn't do that. The Texans' offensive line getting buried last night. Buried by the Saints. Weren't they supposed to be better this year to protect Deshaun Watson? Didn't they just trade for Laramie Tunsil? That Texans pass rush, where was it most of the night? Oh, right, they traded away Jadeveon Clowney. Right. Well, there's definitely help coming, right? Oh, wait, Bill O'Brien and the former Patriots team chaplain now running the organization have traded away a first and a second rounder in three of these four drafts. Upcoming, they've got two more, 2020, 2021. They won't have a first or a second rounder. I feel for Deshaun Watson because I worry that the Texans are failing Deshaun Watson. It is where we begin. Your cold open.
58-yard attempt for the win. Snap, placement, Lux leans into it. Lux has got the distance. Oh, he's got it! Saints win! New Orleans gets the W in the season opener, and Will Lux is the hero.
It's a team loss, you know, offensively, you know, personally being an offensive leader. You know, we could have did a little more. With great teams like this, you know, playing on the road, a great quarterback in Drew Brees, you got to be able to, you know, put the game away. And we had the opportunities, but we didn't do that. We gave them a little bit momentum on my interception, too. They went down and scored. So you just got to be able to capitalize on the opportunities.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Ian Eagle, Westwood One on the call. Deshaun Watson after the game. Look, I'm not going to tell you that Deshaun's already a finished product and a perfect player. I mean, last year in the wild card loss to the Indianapolis Colts, you saw that Deshaun Watson has growth that he can still have in his game. There's still a ways for him to go to be even better. But last night, there were so many things that you watched that just screamed they're not helping Deshaun enough. And I just think that Bill O'Brien is the most overrated head coach in the NFL. And that he's been getting by in a lackluster division and never winning any significant, really big games and wrestling all the control, all the power away from everybody in that organization and acting like the smartest guy in the room. When in reality, the only reason the Texans are contenders this year is because Andrew Luck retired and Deshaun Watson is impeccable. He's amazing. And they better figure out this offensive line. I mean, you trade for Tunsil, and so you're supposed to be automatically better. You were not last night. And Deshaun Watson, look, giving him Kenny Stills, making sure DeAndre Hopkins is there, building a better offensive line, these are all good things. But they've actually got to pay dividends on Sundays and then Monday nights, and last night they did not. And just to watch Deshaun Watson, and look, there's no shame in losing on the road to Drew Brees when Brees does that, and I want to talk about Drew Brees there. But also, to see Deshaun Watson take that hit, deliver that touchdown, and have that towel over his head to have to watch the ensuing drive and a win, or at least an overtime, get yanked away is pretty brutal. And it would have been overtime had that missed extra point been a missed extra point. But the Saints did what the Saints did. And again, imagine Deshaun Watson did all of that, and then they shanked the extra point. I'm just worried that Bill O'Brien is not the equal to what Deshaun Watson is and what he does, and it's going to be a problem for the quarterback. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Also, let's just talk about how the Saints defense really got bailed out. Because on that drive, as great as those throws were by Deshaun Watson, there is only two things that you cannot do on that final drive. The Saints defense cannot get beat behind them. That's the only thing. Keep everything in front of you. You cannot get beat over top. And you cannot rough the kicker. That's the only two things the Saints cannot do on that final drive. And they got beat over top twice. Hopkins beats his man, and then Stills beats his man and the safety. And then, if the kicker shanks, at least you get to go to overtime, and instead you commit the personal foul, roughing the kicker. It's the only two things you cannot do. And they did them all on those three plays. And then got bailed out by Drew Brees and how sublime he is going down the field. Dink, 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 up. Field goal. Go home. Everybody go home. What Brees showed you is a complete mastery of that offense, as he always does, and just yet another piece of evidence that he is going to be in Canton 5 years to the day, or close to it, after he decides to hang him up. That's a first ballot Hall of Famer right there. One of the greats to do it, and it's a shame we were robbed of him in the Super Bowl last year by awful officiating blunder. But Brees, even with just the one ring, showed you last night what greatness truly is at the quarterback position in that final drive. All right, I know you guys want to weigh in on that opener from Monday night, Saints and Texans. So hit me up on the phone and on Twitter, DA on CBS on Twitter. When we come back, the doubleheader, game number two. The Raiders look really good. Wait, are the Raiders actually going to be kind of good? Let's discuss coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
Good morning. Enjoy your show immensely. I mean that sincerely, D.A. I don't know what age bracket you're in, your 50s, maybe early 50s.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
First and goal at the 4. Carr into center. Eye formation. Spins. Hands off. Jacobs over the right side. Digging. Turning. He's in for the touchdown. I don't know how he burrowed. I don't know how he submarined, but somehow he sneaks into the end zone. That's a touchdown run of 4, and the Raiders extend their lead early in the fourth quarter over Denver.
It stung as a friend, having to see him go somewhere else. But again, I wish Antonio the best. And even if, you know, whatever feelings, I don't even think he has hard feelings towards anybody. He just wanted a different place, right?
Huh. Interesting spin on things. 22 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. That is the great Kevin Harlan on Westwood One last night. And then Derek Carr after the Raiders' victory 24-16. The DA Show full episodes are available Podcast form, all places podcasts are downloaded, including radio.com and iTunes and CBSSportsRadio.com. And our Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Austin Eckler, the Chargers running back, starting in place of holdout Melvin Gordon. Three touchdowns. Whoops from Melvin Gordon's camp. Final touchdown of the game winner. 7-yard run. Just over 5 minutes left in OT. That's 154 yards from scrimmage for Eckler. The first undrafted player since Dan Reeves. Yes, that Dan Reeves in 67 to have 150 scrimmage yards, two receiving touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown in the same game. The Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Funk it. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Grainger.com. Are the Raiders actually kind of good? Last night, Oakland looked the part. And I will quickly raise my hand and say I've taken plenty of shots, 2x4 to John Gruden and this kind of exercise of being John Gruden, this kind of community theater that John Gruden does, being John Gruden.
The Raiders, I can't wait for the silver and black. We're going to have toughness around here, right, Sean?
You know, I roll my eyes at that because that's not really what football coaches do. That's what TV personalities do that sell Hooters wings.
Yeah, I just want football players here. We're going to bring back the toughness around here, guys. Right, Sean?
So I've just always kind of rolled my eyes at this hire, and certainly last year at the wins, but mostly the losses, the outcomes of the games. I rolled my eyes at trading away Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper only to bring in Antonio Brown. There's been a lot of reasons to roll your eyes at the leadership of John Gruden. But John Gruden, one of his priorities was to fix Derek Carr. And at least for one night, Derek Carr looked fixed. Derek Carr, a couple of years ago, when the Raiders had their kind of Cinderella comeback season under Jack Del Rio, he was an MVP candidate before he got injured late in the season going into the playoffs. And Derek Carr has really not looked like that since then. And Carr last night was so efficient, so accurate, so on the money. He went 22 of 26, 259 yards, a touchdown, no picks, no turnovers, no sacks. Didn't need AB either. There's part of this that makes me believe, to be honest, that water will seek its level and that the Raiders will come back to looking like the Raiders moving forward, and that a great week one cannot mask the fact that this is a thin roster without playmakers, without great players on defense, a work in progress, one foot out the door for Las Vegas, and that ultimately it's going to be a 6-10 type of season. But for a night, the Raiders looked the part. The Raiders looked the part of what Gruden was supposed to bring when he got in there, which was efficiency at the quarterback position, a win the line of scrimmage mentality, and making home games a difficult place to play for opponents in the black hole. And all of that was true. All of that was true last night. Now, the Broncos might be really bad. Broncos could be real bad. Real bad. Could be real bad there, John. Could be real bad. That Broncos team, led by Flacco, Wolf City. I mean, they just had no fire, no fight, no nothing coming out of the blocks. So maybe, and Vic Fangio, not the debut that you want here. The Broncos thought they were set up to win right away. That did not look like a team set up to win right away. But for at least tonight, the Oakland Raiders look like they might not be so bad. After one episode of Hard Knocks this summer, Mraz came in and said, off air, this Raiders team could be pretty good. And I laughed and mocked because it was one episode of a reality television show that led Mraz to saying this. But I have to imagine, big boy, that after last night, you feel even better about the Raiders actually being competitive.
How can you not? Josh Jacobs, a legitimate running back, defense way better. Jonathan Abram, Cleveland Farrell, and of course, the biggest part of this whole thing, Derek Carr. Derek Carr looks like an MVP again. Going to be top five in voting, and suddenly we're off and running for the Raiders. Big last hurrah for the fans in Oakland, and away we go.
Okay, so best case scenario here, absolutely best case scenario.
Sure.
Is that the Raiders go 10-6, maybe magical 11-5.
Correct.
They somehow make the playoffs. I don't think they can win a division with the Chiefs in it, but they make a wild card.
Beat the AFC South winner. 4:30 ESPN, first wild card game.
Divisional round, go to Foxborough, and AB's new team with the Patriots sent home in a blizzard as the snowball, the tuck rule game, gets reversed. The Raiders without AB send karma back to Foxborough. They win and the Patriots dynasty in the divisional round.
Gruden's the coach again, so the ultimate tuck rule, you know, if you will, revenge. Great for the Oakland fans. Last time the Raiders are obviously an Oakland Raider team. Antonio Brown, the karma gets put on him. The karma gets put on Grandmama. And then away you go. That's the way you got to root for this Raider season unfold. I'm all in on it.
Okay, so that's best case scenario.
Right. Worst case scenario is last night's the only win of the year.
Worst case scenario is last night is definitely the highlight of the season.
Correct. Right. It can also just be said, you know, watching that game last night, you know what we're really going to miss next year? What we're really going to miss? Mm. We're going to miss football games played on baseball fields.
You think so?
I think there's going to come a time 15 years from now where we're showing our kids and be like, why were they playing on a baseball field? We have taken that look for granted, and this is it.
Well, I was watching, as I am usually wont to do, a number of old 1970s NFL films clips on Twitter and on YouTube last night. And I was noticing how hard the artificial turf looked and felt. I mean, that old artificial turf at the Vet, at Giant Stadium, at Cincinnati, Astrodome, that was basically painted cement. And it looks crazy to watch Walter Payton run on essentially painted green cement. And so maybe you're right. When I look back at that, I go, oh, my God, how are we playing football on that concrete? Maybe we'll say the same thing about infield dirt and second bases in football moving forward.
It's got a little cachet to it. I am telling you, you watch that list, you are going to miss that next year. You may not miss it next year. You're going to miss it 5 years from now.
I'm also going to miss the fact that Raiders fans are such an identifiably rugged bunch. I like the idea that there's at least one place in the NFL that you go to that you have to be kind of scared. I like that.
I think you'll still get some of that in Vegas.
I don't know.
Vegas got a lot of weirdos.
They do. But it's not East Bay grit. I mean, Las Vegas is going to have a lot of people that go there for bachelor parties that want to go to the football game. It's going to be a gleaming new stadium and palace. It's going to be people hung over from 3 nights of drinking and no sleep. It's going to be people with Whataburger pushing down their face. I mean, in Oakland, these are a real tattered, rugged group that you're kind of scared about. And I like the fact that there's at least one fan base in the league that's a little bit scary.
The Eagles brought a casket to a tailgate on Sunday. I think we have that box checked.
Okay, so we got one other.
Well, the problem is, though, even if you pick up all of the Raider fans from Oakland and bring them to Vegas, it's not going to look the same because they're not going to be in this grimy, dank, dark building.
Correct. We're not even allowed to go to the bathroom.
They're going to be in this build, you know, beautiful spaceship.
That's right.
They're going to look like bigger misfits, not fitting in with the whole kind of the whole atmosphere.
Right. We have a stadium where sewage backs up. Literally, sewage backs up.
You better go to the porta potty in the parking lot because you ain't getting your fix in.
I mean, I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss a Monday night. They don't really play many other night games. Maybe a Thursday night every so often. Going to miss the black hole at night. It's going to be sad. It really is. You know, we need a little bit dirt underneath the fingernails because the NFL could be too antiseptic, too clean, too. It could look like everything else. Every stadium, every scene, every fan base can just look interchangeable except the Raiders fan base. They're legitimately disturbed people. And we need that. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. When we return, our trashes on a Trash Tuesday. Who are you trashing? Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. That's next.
Oh.
open now for brunch.
You know, DA, as we all get older, you know, you look back at the young party days, those were like our wienerships. And as you get older, maybe the getaways with your friends become a little calmer. That's what yesterday felt like. It felt like a maturity experience.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The great Jacob Wilkins, one-time voice of the Chicken Challenge and the wienership. Now, the voice of the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. Welcome back. 40 minutes past the hour. DA with you, and our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. You can watch the Best of the DA show on YouTube every single day. Simply go to YouTube and check out our Best of clips after every show. Tis a Trash Tuesday, so bring us your trashes. Avocado tweets, NFL players getting tackled in dirt is ridiculous and beneath the NFL and even the Raiders. I'm trashing Alameda County Coliseum. That place is a toilet, and Raider Nation can't get to Sin City fast enough.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
I mean, look, admittedly, I don't spend Sundays at that toilet bowl, so it seems fine for me. Raider fans have to, but I'm going to miss that dump. I like it. It reflects the Raiders. It reflects the silver and black. It reflects a renegade franchise that always kind of played a little fast and loose with the rules and had a swagger and a bravado and a we don't care about anything because we're happy being a bunch of junkyard dogs. I like that about that toilet bowl of a stadium. Rob tweets, DA, I'm in Houston. I couldn't agree more. We've talked about how Watson certainly deserves better than the slop the Texans put around him. Their inability to protect him this season and season after season is embarrassing. Trash them!
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
Well, that's kind of the irony here, is that he's had one of the best wide receivers in football in DeAndre Hopkins. They've added another wide receiver in Kenny Stills. They've added Laramie Tunsil to that offensive line. They've had J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney on the defensive line. Whitney Mercilus is an excellent Pro Bowl player as well on the defense. You could make the argument that there's actually good talent surrounding Deshaun Watson, but I don't know, Mraz, every time that I look at Bill O'Brien, including last night of the sideline, I go, Deshaun deserves a better head coach than he's got right now.
Yes, yes, and not only that, the scary part is Bill O'Brien is the one making the personnel decisions right now and trading away future picks that could be used to rebuild that offensive line to ruin him. I really, truly think Deshaun Watson's career might be ultimately fine, but the first half of it is certainly going to be ruined by the fact that Bill O'Brien's roster construction and decision-making in-game is atrocious. I mean, how are you in that prevent defense versus Drew Brees after you take the lead late? How is that possible?
I wonder about all the in-game decisions that Bill O'Brien just is so clunky with. I mean, he blew two timeouts in one play yesterday by taking a timeout to decide whether to challenge or not, then challenging, then losing the challenge, then losing the timeout. How do you blow two timeouts if you don't know if you'll win it? Just challenge it. At least you only blow one timeout of the challenge.
You know what it is? Most coaches, I don't know what's going on with my voice here. Most coaches will have their own people upstairs, and they will convince you, hey, you need to challenge this, you need to do this. But Bill O'Brien, I think, is starting to think he's Bill Belichick because he came from that tree and doesn't want to delegate too much of anything. And this goes for personnel. This goes from in-house, in anything. So I think with those challenges, he's calling a timeout just to really think about it before throwing the challenge, like I said, just trusting his staff. It's a complete anarchy situation.
Bill O'Brien is a crazy ego guy. Crazy. You can just tell. He believes he is the smartest guy in the room. He believes he's one of the smartest coaches of the NFL. He believes, whether it's because he had a couple of years under Bill Belichick or what, he really believes that, look, he's the guy that yelled at Tom Brady on the sideline. He was the one coordinator in the history of the Patriots organization that was willing to yell at Brady. And some people said, oh, yeah, that shows toughness and got to get in Brady's face. And come on. And Tom Brady's one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time. Bill O'Brien's a 9-7 head coach. I don't want to hear how Brady needs to be challenged by his coordinators. It's been just fine, seemingly, without Josh McDaniels yelling at him. It was just fine without Charlie Weiss screaming at him. But Bill O'Brien decided, this is my moment to scream at Tom Brady on the sideline. Like, grow up, dude. I mean, you're freaking Bill O'Brien. And now, sweatpants wearing, egomaniac.
Well, that's on one thing he does good is wear the sweatpants.
On the sideline, thinking that this guy is God's gift.
And he has no idea. Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde, he has no idea when to use either of them.
No idea. Totally lost. Brady tweets, I'm trashing the Texans defense. I mean, how do you watch your quarterback take you down the field and win the game big time way on the road and give the game away within 53 seconds? Trash them.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Matt tweets, I'm trashing apparel that says team or organization, quote, against the world or versus the world or versus everybody. Last night I saw a Raiders against the world shirt. No, it's Raiders against the Broncos. Matt, well done. You know, I think that this started with Cleveland against the world. No, maybe Detroit against the world. Detroit had this thing, Detroit against everybody. Then Cleveland adopted it during the LeBron James second era. Then Boston adopted it. It's like it can't be you against everybody in the world because we have multiple cities now that think they're against the world. So that just is illogical. Trevor tweets, I'm trashing Eli on 4th-and-1 with Sterling Shepard reasonably open. Eli tried to scramble for the first. He was strip-sacked well short. Does he not remember who he is? Most hilarious clip from NFL Week 1. Keep him in, Giants.
Splash Brothers. More like the Trash Brothers.
I'm surprised no meltdown from you this week.
No, I mean, I expected a loss. I expected a bad season. And I am just sitting and waiting patiently. I love Eli. I'll wish him farewell. And let's get Daniel Jones in there and start the era.
It is time for our trashes here on the show. Trash Tuesday time.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Perez, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
I'm trashing Broccoli Rob, and frankly, anybody that enjoys it.
Huh.
This became a bit of controversy yesterday. There was a catered meal that was not intended for us, but of course we all took part and had some.
Sure.
And I bit into a sandwich thinking maybe it was just a little burnt lettuce on top, and no, of course, what was there? My old enemy, my old foe, Broccoli Rob.
Mm.
Why does this exist as a vegetable, a topping, whatever exactly it is? It's not broccoli. It is robbing you of your taste buds. It's bitter, vile weed. That's exactly what...
Weed.
It's a bitter, vile weed that is designed to make everything look fancy and poofy. And if I have one more somebody in there cooking telling me, well, it's a good vehicle for garlic. Oh, it really adds to a pork roll. No, it makes pork taste like butt. It makes any stromboli taste awful. It's a worse topping on a sandwich. It's bitter, tasteless garbage. Actually, it has taste. The taste is suck. Enough with Broccoli Rob and those who like it. You are ruining perfectly good food.
Okay, trash it.
Stinky debris.
Now, Broccoli Rob is not actually broccoli. Broccoli Rob is a green cruciferous vegetable with the leaves, buds, and stems edible. The buds resemble broccoli but do not form a large head. It is known for its bitter taste associated with Italian cuisine. It's more like a spinach-asparagus hybrid.
Yes, but spinach and asparagus are both far more delicious. Everybody keeps telling me, well, soak it in salt water first. Why do I have to go through 40 processes to try to make the thing taste any bit delicious? It sucks. It's a terrible, terrible addition. And I love Italian food. I don't need Broccoli Rob to ruin it. Enough. Well, all over my sausage? Screw that.
But you like the Italian food that's not green.
That's not true. Well, I like clams arraignata. There's plenty of parsley in there.
Okay. But you don't like most vegetables. Certainly not green vegetables.
That is such a lie. I love asparagus. I love string beans. I love regular broccoli. I love carrots. I got asparagus and carrots going in the crock pot right now.
Carrots aren't green.
But they're a vegetable. I mean, let's not split hairs here.
I don't really understand the Broccoli Rob fascination either because it's so bitter. I mean, to me, spinach is a better Broccoli Rob.
For sure.
Now, you got to admit, though, it's very good for you. I'm sure that deep green has a lot of antioxidants in it. I'm sure
but
definitely.
But if it's smothered in garlic and oil every time an Italian person cooks it, then why? What do you mean it's good for you?
I'm sure it's very good for you.
No chance.
That deep of a green, you know Brady's eating Broccoli Rob every single meal.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, Broccoli Rob is big TB12 dietary stuff.
Just get it off my sandwiches and stop assuming people like it when you're going to give people free food.
Connor Green, Diaper D'Alien, in for Pete the Body today. Who are you trashing?
So today I'm trashing the Monday Night Football broadcast, which for the second consecutive year insists on having these live performances at halftime.
Yeah.
So you're watching the game, you're having a good time, you're looking for them to break down the game, give you some X's and O's, and then they give you the live performance from G-Eazy. Who the hell is G-Eazy, and why is he on the halftime show? And then they go, it's a live performance, but it's a music video with like a fake crowd that's clearly paid to be there.
Yes.
Why is this on the halftime show? Last year we had Maroon 5. Who's next? DJ Jazzy Jeff and Will Smith? Like, why do we have these old retreads? I'm tired of seeing it. Just give me the X's and O's. Give me Booger McFarlane talking about anything. Just don't have G-Eazy on the broadcast.
Trash them. I have also wondered where actually we got the idea for halftime music videos. I mean, it wasn't even really like performances last
presented
year.
Presented as live.
Yes.
When, well, it's not.
Well, last year when I was at Giants-Falcons Monday night, whoever you guys saw at halftime was also on the field like rolling around singing a song. You guys didn't see that. You saw a video.
Right.
Yeah. So it was really confusing to me.
Someone just got trashed.
And by the way, if a Diaper D'Alien doesn't know your musical performer, then you know it's really out of left field.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody on this crew should know who G-Eazy is, it would be young Connor Green. Bogus, who are you trashing?
DA, I'm going to trash the block party on my block that my house was not invited to this weekend.
Wow.
So last year, we revived the block
frozen
party.
Frozen out of your own block party.
First block party on my block in years last summer. Good time. This year, get the text late in August. Hey, we're scrambling, throwing it together. It's going to be on Saturday, September 7th. Okay, great. We're collecting money per house, $100. Seems like a lot for a DJ, a bouncy castle, whatever. Okay, fine. We'll deal with that next.
G-Eazy is performing.
The kicker is, well, that'll be $150. The kicker is the lady organizing goes, by the way, I don't have the permit for your part of the block. Because my block is almost like a J shape. And the bottom, the hook of the J where I live, actually has a different name than the top half of the block. And apparently that threw the local government for a loop. Why do you need a permit for both things?
Well, that's the other side of the neighborhood over
there. So this lady, again, still organized the block party, wanted money from us, even though we were not technically part of the block party and could not hear the DJ nor see the things that we were paying for to have fun in. So that whole situation, trashed.
Trash them.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
You live on the lower part of the J. Oh,
well, you're I live on the tough part. We're ready to rumble.
Lower J is a rough neighborhood. Upper J is the foo-foo
club. We made
club.
Our own block party. Got our own yellow tape.
I am trashing our benefits company around here because even though our benefits are solid, I mistakenly used the benefits ATM card when I was in London. So they call me. They're like, security measure. We believe that you're... your identity's been stolen. So I'm like, they leave me a voicemail. Okay, I call them back. No answer. I've got to go through three levels of trying to place my identity using a social security number, using my date of birth, using all of this stuff. It's all automated. I cannot get through. They're like, that's not in the system. You don't come up. We cannot connect you. So now I'm just in the middle of this no man's land of automated services. I wait on hold for 30 minutes. I think it was 32 minutes. Finally, the operator comes on. They're like, yes, we believe that there was a security breach. I'm like, no, I was in London. I used that. No, you're fine, but thanks for looking out. They're like, well, you'll need to talk to somebody in the security department. I'm like, okay, but I just told you it's fine. No, sorry, you're going to have to. Okay, well, can you connect me? Well, they're not in the office. I go, well, is anybody in the office? No, nobody's in the office. You'll have to leave a voicemail. I go, they left me a voicemail. I'm telling you what happened. I've waited on hold for 30 minutes. And oh, by the way, I use my correct birthday because I know it and my correct social security number. And I still can't get through. They're like, well, let me check here. Oh, it looks like you have two accounts. I go, well, take one of the accounts off. They go, well, I don't know how to do that. I go, well, what exactly do you do then? I'm telling you there was no security breach. You can't strip one of the accounts off the system. I go, and you can't help me until I leave another voicemail so we keep playing phone tag. Well, sir, I'm just trying to tell you what's going on. I go, you're worthless. What are we doing here? This is so mindless, numbing idiocy that happens every time you call one of these companies and you're connected to this automated system that's probably 17 countries and time zones away. So you know what? Trash them.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
By the way, our friend Mark Zeno in Atlanta.
Yes.
Sports radio host. Who's, tweets.
He's from the neighborhood I live in now.
Tweets, seriously, Mraz? You cannot be a judge of Italian food. Broccoli Rob is freaking delicious. Mraz's taste buds need to take a lap.
You don't use take a lap on me. I use take a lap on you. You take the lap. I'm right. I have a family full of Italian cooks. My wife's a great cook. Broccoli Rob sucks. Get over it. What, is this just a hill to die on here? We're going to fall in the Broccoli Rob trap? Take a lap.
And you created take a lap.
I created it. You don't use take a lap on me. You take the lap.
But thanks for your service, Mark.
When we come back, does Jay Gruden have a problem in Washington?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.